Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your holy word, and we do ask that you open our eyes and help us to see how relevant Jesus is to our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, please do be seated. And this morning I want to tell you the tale of Simon. That's not his real name. But poor Simon, he had a troubled upbringing. Simon's mother and father frequently argued. Then one day, his father simply left. He was gone. As you can imagine, Simon's mother was devastated. She was left alone now to look after three children. And she couldn't cope. Sadly, she took to drink. Simon was therefore placed for a while with foster parents. He was passed to other foster parents. And he was then sent to a state boarding school full of children in similar positions to him. As a teenager, therefore, Simon became a bit of a rebel. He had a few small run-ins with the law before he was 20. But the worst time was when he went out with some friends. They had a few drinks in the local pub. And then one of his friends said, "My kettle at home is broken. I want a new one. I think we should break into the local school and pinch one." So all these young people clambered over the school fence. And then as they were trying to break into a school building, the alarm went off. They all scarpered, but poor Simon didn't manage to get away. His ankle twisted and he fell over. His so-called friends abandoned him. He was there alone to take the rap when the police arrived. He felt, abandoned. And he felt very sad that he was receiving blame for something that really wasn't his fault, because it hadn't been his idea in the first place. So Simon, after that, found it difficult to hold down jobs. People did not trust him because of his background. And if anything ever went missing at work, well, he was the first to be blamed. This hurt because he was now trying his best not to steal. He was trying to make an honest living, but he always got the blame. As a result, he lost several jobs because of such mistrust. But one day, Simon came across some Christians who told him about Jesus, and they explained how Jesus loved him and cared for him. Simon was sceptical. He'd been to the school chapel, and he thought, well, how can Jesus ever relate to somebody like me? Jesus is for well-brought-up people, middle-class people. And even if Jesus was still alive today, as these Christians claimed, surely he cannot relate to my situation. Well, then one day, Simon heard about this event in the life of Jesus. We just heard it read to us, Mark chapter 14. And as Simon heard about it, he was stunned and thought, wow, Jesus can relate to me after all. Like me, Jesus was abandoned by his friends. Like me, Jesus was condemned for something that wasn't really his fault. But then as Simon continued to think about it, he realized it was far worse for Jesus. Jesus had been completely innocent, not just partly innocent. And yet he was still condemned. It just didn't seem fair. And then he heard from these Christian friends our first Bible reading, Isaiah 53, which, as I say, is a prophecy written centuries before the time of Jesus, and it predicts how Jesus would be rejected and condemned despite being completely innocent. And we heard some of that powerful language, didn't we? How Jesus was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And Simon discovered how this was fulfilled as he heard Mark chapter 14. Verse 55, we hear how the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin, that's the whole Jewish ruling council, was desperately looking for evidence so that they could put Jesus to death. But they couldn't find any evidence. So they tried to conjure up false evidence, but the witnesses made a hash of it. They could not agree. So basically, these religious leaders were determined to get rid of Jesus, and truth and innocence did not come into it. To them, Jesus was merely a threat, and they wanted to silence that threat. Of course, as we think about it, that continues today. In our culture today, many people still want to silence Jesus, seeing him as a threat. However, many people, I think, are more like Simon. They don't particularly see Jesus as a threat. They simply think that Jesus could never possibly relate to them. And why is that? I think it's because they jump to this wrong conclusion. They think Jesus just can't identify with them. They think Jesus is irrelevant to their everyday life and the situation they find themselves in. Or maybe they think they're too far gone for Jesus to care about them, because Jesus is for good people, not people like me. Of course, we know that's not the Christian message. Jesus did not come seeking good people. After all, no one is good. No, Jesus came for us all. He came for the broken. He came for those who struggle to make relationships work. He came for those who are in trouble with the law. He came for those who are bereaved. He came for those who are stressed. He came for those who feel excluded. For those who feel that nobody loves them. He came for those who feel abandoned. And he came for those who have been physically beaten. And as we read today's passage, we realise that Jesus has been through all of that. He's been there. He's got the t-shirt. He was innocent, but he was condemned. He was falsely accused. He was abandoned. He was beaten. In the Garden of Gethsemane last week, we saw he was frightened. And he faced death. And that means that Jesus can identify with any and all of us. So as time went by, Simon became more intrigued with this Jesus person. And he wondered, why do these Christians worship him so much? Actually, it confused Simon a bit, because he could understand how people could sympathise with the plight of Jesus. He could understand how people could look at Jesus as a martyr. And as Simon pictured Jesus standing there being accused and insulted by the chief priests, he was deeply moved. But these Christians seem to regard Jesus as something more than a martyr. There was something deeper going on here that Simon was trying to fathom. These Christians talked of knowing Jesus personally. They talked of how Jesus could set people free from sin and from the chains and hurts of the past. And they talked of a fresh start. But it wasn't making that much sense to Simon. How could a condemned man, dead for 2,000 years, do this? And then somebody pointed out to Simon that Jesus, despite being an innocent victim, was actually using this whole situation to win an amazing victory. And they said, look, Simon, there's actually a divine reason behind all this seeming madness. God was using the suffering of Jesus to bring about redemption. And when Simon heard that, he thought, boy, do I need redemption. Again, Isaiah 53 describes it very clearly. This suffering of Jesus, this condemnation and his death, they were not a tragic waste. They were part of God's amazing plan to bring new hope and salvation to the world. So why did Jesus suffer? According to Isaiah 53 verse 5, we see that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. Jesus carried the can for us. And although evil people conspired together to do away with Jesus, God's greater purpose was at work. Jesus was being despised and rejected in order to take away the sins of the world, the evil of the world, and to bring forgiveness, restoration and healing. And Simon then saw how it got even better, because in verse 11, the prediction goes on. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. The light of life, that's an amazing prediction of Jesus being raised again from the dead after his suffering. And verse 11 tells us that God's righteous servant, Jesus, will justify many. This was good news for Simon. Jesus could not only sympathize with him in his despair and brokenness, but Jesus also won an amazing victory over evil and death itself. Simon now realized that Jesus could free him personally, justify him personally, and give him new life. Life now is in a healing started to take place, and then life forevermore in the kingdom of God. And this is good news, not just for Simon, but for all of us. Jesus can do the same for you and for me. And really, there are two ways to look at this chapter in Mark's Gospel. We can read it and think, well, what a tragedy. Jesus is coming to a sticky end. Or we can instead notice how Jesus is in control of all that is going on. Did you notice, for example, how Jesus remains silent as he is accused, just as Isaiah predicted? He makes no response to all those false accusations, but then he does speak at a certain point. When the high priest asks a question in verse 61, Jesus answers by speaking the truth. And he knows it's going to lead to his death, but Jesus chooses the charge he will let himself die for. And that truth is that he is the Christ, the Son of God. So let's look at verses 61 and 62 of Mark 14 again. But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus, "and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." You see how Jesus waits silently until the right moment. He will choose the accusation for which he will die. And the thing is, he dies for telling the truth. He says, "I am the Christ, the Son of God, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." And to the Jewish authorities, they see this as blasphemy. How dare a mere human being say such things? But what is really tragic, what is that the leaders never, they just refused to consider all the evidence Jesus had given them over the last few years. The evidence of the miracles of Jesus, the healings, the exorcisms, the walking on water, the feeding 5,000, the calming of storms. Jesus even raised the dead, and yet that was not enough for them. All this evidence that proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus really was the Christ, the Son of God, it was not enough. These people did not care. They just wanted Jesus out of the way because he threatened their positions. He threatened their power. He threatened their way of life. And this is the dilemma. When we clearly hear Jesus reveal who he is, we have a choice. We can see him as a threat or an imposter like the chief priests. We might see him as irrelevant, like many in the crowd. Or we can see him as the greatest news we've ever come across. Do we see in Jesus a threat? Or something that's just irrelevant? Or do we see hope? I find it interesting how it's often those in life who do well who shut Jesus out. Either that or they try to sanitize Jesus, make him nice and safe and controllable. But verse 62 speaks of a day when all creation will see Jesus return in the most awesome glory. He will come on the clouds of heaven, and on that day every eye will behold him. It will be a day of reckoning. And for people like Simon, who have come to know Jesus as the one who saves them from despair and a downward spiral in life, Jesus will be welcomed with joy, because they know Jesus brings eternal life and every blessing to those who have trusted him. But for those who have rejected Jesus, or simply ignored him and his offer of restoration, life and hope, well, the return of Jesus will be a day of heartbreak, because Jesus will say, "Depart from me. You did not want a place in my kingdom, so be it." You'll be shut out in everlasting darkness. And you see how we respond to Jesus now matters. Well, let me tell you a bit more about Simon. It was some kindly Christian believers who first took time to get to know Simon. First, Simon was suspicious. Why are these people being so nice? Why are they concerned for me? Over time, Simon realized that they were genuine people who wanted to share God's love. And they provided simple things. Some food, some babysitting care for his new baby. Help in his relationship with his latest woman. Simon soon married that woman and had a blessing in church. And life was still hard in many ways, but you know, there was a lot of historical baggage. But Simon had started to honour Jesus, and a healing process had begun. And Simon noticed how he was changing internally. One day Simon did some manual work for somebody, and by accident he was overpaid. He found himself, instead of thinking, "I did well there," he handed the excess money back. He was now trusting God to provide. And the amazing thing is, later that day, Simon arrived back at home, and outside his home was a buggy, a pushchair, for his baby. His wife and he knew they needed one. They hadn't told anybody, but there it was. A Christian friend had come across a spare one and thought, "I bet Simon and his wife could do with that." That helped Simon in his new faith, reassuring him that Jesus really was alive today and watching over him. He now knew Jesus personally as the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One, the one who will come back in glory on the clouds of heaven and lead him into the everlasting kingdom. So today we're thinking about Jesus being accused and condemned by humanity in this passage. Like Simon, let's just realise that something greater is going on here. God is working his purpose out through this tragic rejection of his son. He's using it to bring about new life to those who will come to Jesus in faith. So we have that choice. We can be like people in the crowd who see Jesus as irrelevant, like the chief priests who see Jesus as a threat to our lifestyle. Or we can be like Simon. We can embrace him as the Son of God, the one who saves us. I just want to read verse 12 of Isaiah 53 again. God says, "Therefore I will give Jesus a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Friends, Jesus wins us the victory. So let's come to him in faith and repentance, and worship him. Take a moment of silence and ask the Holy Spirit to continue to speak to us, and I will then pray. the Holy Spirit help us to see the evidence that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One, and move us so that we will come to him in faith and worship him, make him our leading priority in our lives. Give us confidence of everlasting salvation. In Jesus' name, Amen.